Hello, my friends. Hope you're doing well. Mike Shreve here. Thank you very much for taking a listen to today's episode. We're going to be talking about how to make $10,000 fast. Now, in full transparency and honesty, that number, $10,000, is on a sliding scale. I've seen people do this and make only a couple grand. I've seen people do this, myself included, and make six figures or more in a weekend. I use this whenever I need quick cash, whether I'm doing OPM strategies, other people's money strategies, whether I'm got a surprise bill somewhere, whether I'm trying to allocate capital to make an investment in my team, etc. This is a strategy that I use. I also use this for my clients. It's very effective. The effectiveness comes from the fact that it's unbelievably simple. And you are in a position that you need money. Anytime you start using the word need and it's surrounding money, there are a number of psychological and emotional factors that come into play that break complexity. So when you have the anxiety, the fear, the doubt, etc., when creativity is overly constrained, when you have pressures, when oftentimes when there's money needed, sleep gets all, there's a whole number of things that happen. And so you have to have a simple process. So if you listen to this show and you say, gosh, that was really simple, I don't think it works. What I'm telling you is it works because it's simple. If you're looking for a more complicated way to quickly acquire cash than this, you are unnecessarily delaying the work. And that's the real big key factor here, is that if you want money quickly, it takes work. You have to trade work in order for that cash to come. Because at the end of the day, business is very simple. It's two people. One person says, I have money. The other person says, I have ways of helping people. Those two people meet together and they exchange the things that they possess. So you are currently, if you're in a situation where you need money, you're not the person who has the money. You're the person who has the ability to help someone. So that means by definition, you're the person in that relationship who needs to put forth some kind of work. And we'll talk a little bit about that here, okay? So as long as we can agree on all of this, that simplicity is the way to go, then this can be a viable solution for people to use. Okay, so step one, this is anytime I'm doing this or anytime I'm working with a client, step one is to brainstorm all of the different ways that I can help people. Okay, so step one, I literally write on a piece of paper, what can I do to help people? Now, this may sound so elementary and simple, and I'm asking you to give me a shot here. Let's go through all seven here to see how this stacks on each other. But I have noticed time and time again that when people are either new in business, right, they've been trying to sell something to an audience, or even when their business has been going for a while, if they're in a position that they are struggling for cash, it's because their ability to help is being underutilized. And there are other factors in play which are being overutilized. I'll give you the breakdowns now. If you're brand new in business and you're trying to figure out what offer you can sell to the market and who you can sell it to, and you're struggling and you're stuck and you're in a position where I really got to make this work, it might be because you have an idea of what you should offer versus what the market is actually willing to pay. I can't tell you how many times I've done this. I've been doing this now for 15 years. I've been working with thousands and thousands of people. If somebody comes to me and says, I've tried selling my thing for 6 months and nobody's buying, and I ask them a couple questions and it turns out they've only tried selling that one thing, then the reason their business isn't growing is because they're stuck in what they think is the thing they have to sell. That's why the business is stuck. It's not the marketing methods. It's not the audience. It's not the economy. It's that they haven't opened up and broadened their horizons or broadened their assumptions or broadened their willingness to figure out the core of that relationship I talked about earlier. Somebody has ways to help and somebody's willing to pay for that help. So that's for somebody who's a beginner. For somebody who is sort of in their business a little bit more, oftentimes you just get so comfortable with the few things you've already created. Right? You've got like a core offer and maybe like an offer here or there. And you're just like, you know what? These are my offers. I like them. This is working. And maybe you don't have the margin in your business because you don't have the lifetime value from your current customers or clients. And one of the things you need to do is you need to sit down and say, what else can I do to help people? And that simple question blows open the possibility for new offers and et cetera. So step one for how to make fast money is to broaden and think about and brainstorm all of the ways that you can help people. Because right now, if you have a cash constraint, it's likely because you are under-optimizing or under-utilizing your abilities to help. Now, let's say that you come to me and you say, well, Mike, no, I feel I've tried offering everything I could possibly do and et cetera, et cetera. One, I don't know. I've been doing this for a long time. I've not ever seen somebody exhaust all of their options. I myself know that I've not exhausted all of my options. But part of that feeling might come from the fact that as human beings, we're really bad at seeing our own potential. We literally have in our brains this thing called negative self-talk. That is the opposite of encouraging and seeing the potential. So step one for you might actually be to reach out to other people who know you in some fashion. Could be family, could be friends, could be past clients, could be maybe you have a Facebook group and you have a bunch of people, and asking them what you could help them to do. And you will be shocked and amazed that when you open your mouth and start asking, what people will tell you. It's not all going to be great advice, right? If I ask my brother, love him dearly, but if I ask my brother, you know, what could I offer? How could I help? He's not going to give me 100% great answers. But he might say something that will unlock an idea that I hadn't considered before. And that's all we're really looking for. We're not necessarily looking for, you know, a group of people to tell us exactly what we should offer, because on the flip side of that relationship, the people who need help, they need help because they don't know how to fix the thing they're trying to fix. So they can't always vocalize accurately what it is they need, right? You've been in this situation many times. You're like, I need help, but I just don't even know what I need, right? I know this is broken, but I don't even know where to start thinking about how to fix it. So don't expect, you know, thunderbolts from the sky and it to be perfectly written in the sand. This is exactly what you should do. But step one, if you're struggling yourself to think of all the different things you could offer people, step one is to go figure out who can help you to brainstorm, and then to sit down and brainstorm and to come up with all of the potential ideas, all of the potential ways that you can help people. Now, again, remember, this is not necessarily a long-term thing. I don't recommend that every week you sit down and launch new offers. That's a crazy, hectic way to grow your business. But we're talking about getting money fast. And the first thing we're going to do is we're going to stop this thing that we've done to ourselves, which is what put us in the situation in the first place, where we are underutilizing all the potential ways we can help. Again, if you're a beginner and you're trying to figure out your first offer, it's because you have more belief in how your business has to be this and it has to look like this and I'm only going to do this, then your willingness to do whatever the market needs you to do. If you're a little bit more seasoned, it's simply because you, probably like me, got a little bit lazy, got a little bit comfortable, but your LTV isn't where it needs to be, and so you need to think about how can I extend the LTV on these current customers and clients. Okay, so that's step one. Already, if that's all you did, that change right there should do a couple things. One, you should start getting opportunities simply because talking about it, making it simple offers, even you don't have to get all fancy with copywriting, just putting yourself out there in that way, things are going to move and shake. Number two, if you do this mindfully, let's say you're a beginner, this shift can actually unlock the offer that will get you. If you watched our other episodes this week, or maybe it was the week before, where we talked about the plan from zero to 100,000 and focusing on that one offer, this might actually be the thing that helps you unlock that offer. For those of you who are more experienced, this could be the thing that unlocks the LTV. So while this is a short-term tactic, the act of creating an offer, that's always long-term. If you can come up with something that people like to buy and that you can deliver on, keep it. Keep it as long as you can, because that's the hardest part of business, figuring out what people want and can I deliver on it? Will they pay for it? If yes, then keep it around for as long as you can. So this can also be a creative process that does have long-term benefits. All right, that's step one. Step two now, okay, so you say, here's how I can help people. Step two now is to take an inventory of your relationships. Who do I have a relationship with? Here's everything I can do. Now, who are the people that I have an existing relationship with? Who do I have an existing relationship? Let me give you some ideas. An email list. I have a relationship with you. It's very likely that you're on my email list, hearing this, listening to it, consuming it, right? I have a relationship with my podcast subscriber. So maybe you're not on my email list. Maybe you're just a podcast subscriber. Maybe you're a YouTube subscriber. We don't have that many yet. Soon we're going to have tons. But those are, so subscribers, followers, email list, customers, etc., right? That is a relationship. And we're not trying to determine what the nature of that relationship is yet. There's a couple of steps where we're going to break down the nature of the relationship. We're just trying to take an inventory of who do we already have a relationship with, because one of the things that takes the longest time in business is building a relationship. So if you're trying to make money fast, don't go pursuing new relationships. That's the long way to make money. If you're looking for money fast, you have to start with established current relationships. And don't assume that the relationships we're talking about here are necessarily the people who are you're going to sell your offer to. I'm literally asking you to think about who are your current relationships. Your friends, your family, casual acquaintances on Facebook, previous clients, people that you've talked to on the phone, say they booked a sales call with you a long, long time ago, you will find that whether you're a beginner or you've been doing this for a very, very long time, you have a significant number of relationships. And we need to inventory them so we can analyze them to see which ones can help us get what we want. Not necessarily which ones can give us the money. We're just trying to figure out which are the ones who can help us get the money. Okay, so step one was to list out what can I do to help people. Step two is to inventory relationships. And you don't have to, if you have an email list, don't sit there and write the names of every single person. We're just identifying where have I, as a human being in this world, already built relationships. I don't want to go try and build new ones. That's going to take too long. Step three, what is the status of those relationships? For example, if I have a relationship with my email list, how would I describe that? Now, this is a little bit more open-ended, right? It's not as black and white in that sense. I would, if I'm doing this, I'm really going to think about what have I done to these people on this email list? Have I been, beating them down with offers every single day? Have I overmailed them? Have I not mailed them in weeks so they totally forgot about me? Did I a couple weeks ago run this really awful affiliate thing and now they're all mad at me? What is the relationship that I have? What is the current status with my email list? What is the current status of my friends on Facebook? Do they know who I am? Do they know what I do? Do they even know that I have stuff for sale? Do they even know that I own a business? Do they know what my offers are? If I were to reach out to them right now, would that be really strange because I haven't talked to them in 7 years? Same with your family, same with your friends, same with past clients, same with all of the relationship. You're just trying to figure out where is this relationship now in relation to what I'm trying to do. Would it be weird if I randomly reached out to a friend from high school and said, hey, do you have any referrals for business? And the answer is, yeah. If I haven't talked to that person since I was in high school, that would be strange. So what we're trying to identify, think about it, we're trying to identify the pool of relationships where it makes sense to spend time and effort in what we're trying to do right now, which is get cash. So we can just eliminate the ones where it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Now, I would, again, give you, and we'll talk about this in the step, but as you go in the next step, but as you go through this process, just remember, they don't have to necessarily have the money you're looking for. They just have to be a relationship and one that's in good standing because they may be able to help you get the money. But what we're really talking about is, would it be strange? Would it be weird? Am I going to, if I have estranged parents, am I going to reach out to them right now and try to get cash? Probably not. Right? That kind of a thing is what we're looking for. Okay, so step one, what can I do to help people? Step two, who do I have a relationship with? Step three, what is the status of that relationship? Start to eliminate basically what would be wastes of time. Come down with, here's some good relationships that I have. Now, step four is where we start to take the remaining, inventory of relationships, and we ask two simple questions. Question number one, do they need what I have? Question number two, if not, can I make them something that they need? Okay, so I'm going to give you an example here because this is where you need to start thinking outside the box, but it's not overly complicated. Keep it simple. Let's say I only have relationships with people who do not need anything I can do for them. Okay, I help people with funnels, I help people with copywriting, I help people with business, I help people work themselves out of their day job, I help people work themselves out of their business, I've got a whole list of things I can do to help someone. And I'm looking at my list and it's, oh my gosh, it's my family, it's my friends, it's people who have nothing to do with business, they have no interest in business, nothing. So the first question is, do they need what I have? And the answer is no. So then we go to the second question. If the answer is no, then can I make something for them that they need? And the answer is yes. Now let me walk you through an example. Everybody needs money. Everybody. Everybody needs money. And this is where I've seen some really great results for myself and for others implementing this, which is you are underestimating the power of network connection. I know you are, because everybody does, to be able to tap into quickly with your current relationships by simply doing this. Everybody needs money. Everybody loves to support the people they care about. Connections go much further than we could ever possibly imagine. You never know who knows who, et cetera, et cetera. So simply offering a referral fee, a commission, affiliate commission, whatever you want to call it, going to your list of contacts and saying, look, here's the deal. you're my parents, right? I love you. You're amazing. I'm trying to get this business off the ground. Here's what I'm trying to do. Do you know anyone? If you do, I'm paying a referral fee. So if somebody you refer does a deal with me, I'm going to give you X amount of money. Now, obviously, if you're looking for cash, don't give away so much money that it doesn't make sense and you're back to square one in 2 weeks, but also make it worth people's time. And you will be surprised and shocked at two things. One, depending on the nature of your relationship, some people will say, oh, don't be silly, keep the money, I actually know somebody, and they refer without you having to pay the referral fee. Now, personally, I always push to pay, and if they absolutely refuse, then I buy them some fancy gift or something, which they can't refuse, right? So people can refuse cash, but they'll always accept a gift if you do it that way. The other side is that you will be shocked and amazed at how sometimes you offering that can be an answer for somebody else. You don't, and this isn't just for family and friends. This could be fellow business people that you know. Maybe they don't necessarily have what you offer, or you know, they don't have the need that you can help, but they would love to make some cash themselves because of the network effect that they have in their life and all the relationships that they have. Now, the other side of this, so we talked about, you know, if they don't have a need that you can solve, think of something you can do to help them. And oftentimes setting up a referral fee is enough. And the other side is, this is where you can really start to think about, can you expand what you have? So I'll give you an example. Let's say you have an existing business. You have, you know, 1,000 people have purchased a book of yours and they bought a little course, and you're sitting there and you're thinking, oh my gosh, do they have what I need? Well, I've already given them everything I have. I only have a book and a course. What else can I do? Well, this is where you can reach out to a couple people if you need to, or if you just know it intuitively, like after a certain amount of time, you just know your market and, you know, you have some confidence in your ability to get generally close, at least close enough to create some quick income. You can just think, what else can I create? And I know this, again, this sounds so simple, but so few people actually think it this way. They just think, so rather than thinking of, what do these people need? What's my relationship with them? And can I make them something else? They kind of go into this ethereal guessing game where it's like, I saw somebody do this and so I'm going to do it now. And they launch something and it doesn't make any sense in their business. It's distracting their customers to go this way and that way. And it's very, very confusing. Where if you actually say, okay, who are the people in my world? So let's talk about Peaceful Profits. I got people who have bought my books. I have people who bought the order bumps. I have people who bought the upsells. I have people who bought our intro programs. I have people who have bought our core program. I have people who have purchased done-for-you offers. And each of those people have something else that they need. There's something else I can think of. There's something else that's specific to the fact that they have purchased and consumed this thing. Therefore, there's something else I can create on top of it. And that's a great way to create new income in an existing business, is to just do that. You don't have to go crazy and launch 9 more funnels. That's overly complicated. You already know that there are people who have purchased something from you, and you know that if they purchase something, they probably need something else. For example, if you purchase something from me about how to write a book, and you write the book, let's say you write the book in a weekend, well, now guess what you need? You need a way to sell the book. You need something to do with the book afterwards. Like, there's a whole list of things that somebody who completes an action in the help business opens up more need for help. And you start with the relationship in this case, because again, building the relationship is the thing that takes the longest. So you may say, well, yeah, but there's not a big need in the market for people who have, they've written a book, and I tried to sell something to the market a long time ago about how if you have a book, I can help you sell it. It didn't really work. Well, that's because you're trying to sell it to strangers. You're trying to sell it to people who didn't already have step one complete. So this is why starting from existing relationships is so powerful. Okay. And then again, for those of you who are in the beginning stages of your process, look at the relationships that you do have and ask, if I don't have what they need now, can I make something that they need? And I will bet all the pennies in my pocket that the people you know are a lot like thousands of other people, that if you were to make something for those people you know, it will very likely sell beyond just those people that you know. Not to mention that if the people that you know refer clients to you, then those clients can refer clients, and those clients can refer clients, and you've developed the practice and the habit of starting with relationships. Okay, next. So we've got step one, what can I do to help people? Step two, who do I have a relationship with? Step three, what's the status of that relationship? Step four, do they need what I have? And if not, can I make something that they need? And again, even if they're not the ones purchasing from you, people always need money. They always would love to refer. And beyond money, people need to feel connected. They need to feel like they've done something good, and et cetera. So think along those terms as well. And then step six is to compile this into a list. Keep it organized. Don't put it in your head. Please don't do this exercise in your head. if you do this exercise in your head, it's not going to get done. And I don't mean that in a condescending way. I mean that in a, please don't make the same mistake I've made. Because, you know, this is something that I do with teams sometimes, right? We get in a big meeting, we come up with all these great ideas, we think about all the people that we have access to, all of our subscribers and the emails and all this kind of stuff. And then we're like, yeah, that was a great discussion, meeting over, 2 weeks later, we're still out of money. If it's in your head, it's not going to be actioned. You need to get it on paper and into a list, because that's what you do in step six. In step seven, you reach out as intimately as possible every day to the list that you've created until you hit your goal. Now, there's a reason I say as intimately as possible. There is a tendency, especially when you are in fear, anxiety mode, frustration mode, Kelly and Connor's emotional cycle of change and the valley of despair, especially, there is a tendency to become reclusive. There's a tendency to go inward. There's a tendency to avoid. There's a tendency to do all of the things which are opposite to, let's go all the way back to the beginning of this episode, these are all things which are opposite to the core that makes money change hands, which is two human beings coming together, identifying what they need, identifying what you can do to help them with that need, and then to exchange money in order for you to deliver that help that they need. You can't have that occur as you go and avoid human beings. It's not going to happen. Passively announcing, hey, like I'm kind of doing this thing, is not going to cut it. Not when we're trying to get results quickly. What will cut it is a human being talking to a human being. So I'll give you some actual examples. I was once part of a team where I was the sort of consultant slash freelancer on the team. The company was struggling really quite badly and they needed a significant amount of money. And in the past, they would just email a list, right? Just pound the list with emails and, you know, have a sales page and charge like $2,000 for whatever it was they're doing. And that was how they got out of a mess, right? And as you can imagine, that became less and less effective over time and et cetera, et cetera. Well, my suggestion was, hold on a second. Why don't we take a look at these customers of ours who are on this email list, figure out if we know their phone number, and call them. Sell them something that's more than $2,000, because we know that a portion of them will buy it for $2,000. There's something we can do for fives, or something we can do for tens, or something we can do for 20, whatever it was. And I don't want to give away too many of the details here. Client confidentiality is absolutely important. But what we did is we took the customers and the phone numbers that we did have, and we just called them. We had a person-to-person call, phone call, relationship. We do this from time to time in my companies. If we need income, we call follow-ups. So people have booked a call with us, sending a half-written, you know, template email to someone. What does that do? Is that really a relationship move? Is that really an intimate thing? No. When I go back to earlier what I said, the fastest path to a sale is going to be with the relationships that you have, which are the closest. Trying to sell to strangers takes a long time because you have to build up the trust, they have to get to know you, they have to understand you, etc. So why would you purposefully put extenders of conversations and relationships, like sending just a template email to people, when what you really need is that increased intimacy, that faster turnaround of having conversations, right? So pick up the phone. So it's now, I understand some people that might not be a good idea. Maybe you're horrible on the phone. But what I am trying to suggest is that you increase the intimacy more than you think is prudent if speed is what you're looking for. Okay, you cannot passively earn your way out of a financial jam. You have to be proactive. And you have to remember, go back all the way to the beginning of this episode. It's about two people, human beings, conversating, working things out, negotiating, and figuring out what they can do together. Because here's the biggest problem with doing things passively, or doing things timidly, or not pushing for more intimate conversations. The problem is that when you put a message out there that says, on your own time, whenever you can get around to it, I'm not going to approach you, I'm not going to come after you, I'm just going to put it out there, and I'm just going to say, you know, it's going to happen when it's going to happen. The problem with that, there's nothing inherently wrong with it, except in the context of your specific situation. The problem is that your unwillingness to control the timeline means they control the timeline. And their timeline is not your timeline. In other words, they may need help. They probably do need help, but they'll get to it when they can get to it. They're not having the conversation with you right now. They're not on the phone with you right now. They just saw a post you had, and when they're ready, they'll get to it. Now, again, there's nothing wrong with that, right? That's how I run my business most of the time. But when I need cash, I can't let everybody else decide when the sale happens. I'm not saying being overly aggressive. I'm not saying, you know, pressuring people. I'm not saying doing anything like that. In fact, you know, getting on a call allows you to filter through people very quickly rather than kind of sitting around wondering, is it going to work? Is it going to, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But you have to understand that if you want to control the timeline, you do it through increasing your intimacy with the conversations that you're having, not decreasing it. So this is also, maybe if you've tried to make money very quickly, try looking at the methods you've used. Have you used methods which decrease intimacy? Have you used, you know, spray and pray methods? If so, that's probably why it's taken so long. Just the fundamental nature of how people exchange money, which we've talked about. Okay, and then the last point I'll make here, and then we'll be done, is that you want to reach out intimately as possible, whatever that is for you, every day, every single day, and remove distractions. This is hard to say because I know exactly how it feels, but I'm trying to give you clarity so that you don't get distracted by what may or may not be true in other people's trying to sell you something, essentially. And the fact of the matter is that if you're in a position where you need money fast, by definition, the only way to get it is uncomfortable. That's it. There is no secret way where you don't feel any discomfort. Fast money, which most people only need fast money. I'm sure there are people that want it, but they want it for a specific need. It's a situation of discomfort. Now, the beautiful thing is if you follow these 7 steps, what can I do to help people? Step 1, list it out. Who do I have a relationship with? Step 2, inventory. Step 3, what is the status of that relationship? Start taking people who you don't feel would be appropriate to reach out to, take them off, because the status of the relationship is just going to take too long to get going. Step 4, do they need what I have? If not, can I make something for them? Step 6, compile that into a list. Step 7, reach out intimately as possible every day to that list. A couple things are going to happen. Not only will you very likely get the cash you're looking for, or at least start the process of getting cash, but this is an activity which can foundationally expand your business. And what I mean by expanding your business, I didn't mean to say it so aggressively, but it's just going to expand your business. What it can do is it can actually set you up so that this is not only a selling process, but a discovery process. I've never put someone through this process who didn't come out the other end of it with their eyes wide open saying, I learned so much. Learned about myself, learned about my audience, learned about my customers, learned about what they actually want, learned about the strength of my network, whether I have a strong network or I don't have a strong network, learned about the actual relationship I do have with my, I thought my email list liked me a lot more than they do. No, it's a very eye-opening experience. And so prepare for that. Treat it as such. Yes, it will be uncomfortable. It'll be like a very difficult series of hard therapy sessions. But that is sometimes what it takes in business, especially if you're in a situation where you need the money. At some point, you have to, I'm not trying to be rude here or anything like that, but at some point, if you're in business and this is what you want to do, you have chosen, you have elected to do this. Remember, you elected to do this. If you have elected to start a business, part of the process is being really good at looking yourself in the mirror and figuring out what isn't working. And that's very uncomfortable, difficult. It's therapy in the extreme with financial, consequences attached to it. But this process is a little microcosm of that, which has a very good benefit in the end. Okay, so that's it. Very simple. Probably so simple that a good portion of the listeners of this episode won't do it because it's much more fun. It's much easier to believe that if it's more complicated than this, it will be easier than this, that you won't have to feel the pain, the discomfort, that you won't have to do as much work. I've been doing this for 15 years. I've not found anything easier than this for the context of what we're looking at. Remember, this is not a long-term strategy. This is a short-term strategy. The long-term strategies are the stuff that I teach elsewhere. It's the write a book or do a low-ticket funnel, put it in the funnel, get your core offer going and sell it that way. And that's all the long-term stuff. But if you need cash quick, this is how you get it done. And again, I've not found an easier way to do this. Okay, so hopefully this has helped somebody. If it does help you, let us know. We love hearing about what kind of stuff is helpful for those who spend the time listening to me ramble for these very long episodes. And so let us know, whether it's a YouTube comment. You can even email us, help@peacefulprophets.com. And we love hearing from you, commenting on our social media, etc. Let us know if this helps, and we will see you in the next one.